The reading is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, and from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 22 to 31. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today we're thinking about the abundance of God. That's a big word. Abundance. We've said it a lot of times. But can anyone tell me what abundance means? What does abundance mean? Can anyone tell me? Gabe, you got an idea there? Say it again. You have enough. Yes, that's a good explanation. Anything more? Can anyone else tell me what abundant means? More than enough. Yeah, more than enough. We've got enough. More than enough. Anybody else got any thoughts about abundance? Something that never runs out. Yes, fantastic. Yeah, that's what abundant means. More than enough. Overflowing. Plenty. And that's what our God is like. He is an abundant God. And I think we can tell what God is like. We can see something of his character if we look at the world that he has made. Let's first look at the heavens and the stars. You know, I love that statistic that says astronomers have worked out that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the whole of the earth. It's extraordinary, an extravagant creation that God has made. And what about plant life? Look at the variety of fruit that exists. Next slide. Of vegetables and all sorts of plants. The whole of creation is so plentiful. It's outrageously extravagant. And do you know, a biologist was once asked, what his study of nature had taught him about God. And he replied, the Creator must have an excessive fondness for beetles. He's made so many. And next slide. Do you know there's over 450,000 different types of beetle? Now, that biologist was actually an atheist. He didn't believe in God, and he thought that was a reason why God couldn't exist. Why would a creator make so many beetles? But I think that just shows God's extravagant, abundant nature. God doesn't do things by halves. There's an extravagant enjoyment shown in his character by creation. That's what God's like. Thank you. So today, we've been hearing about things that God, in his abundance, has given us. We had all those pictures about all the things that we need and for which we've expressed gratefulness to God today. But our story that we had at the beginning and the readings that we had from the Bible says that we can and we should trust God for those things that we need, because he is abundantly generous and able to provide all that we need. He created the universe. He can provide for us. But you know, our reading said something else. It said, life is more than these things. Life is more than these things. What does that mean? What more? Well, I would sum it up like this. Life is more than those things, and that extra thing is friendship with God. I'd say that's what the extra thing is, friendship with God. Can I have a couple of people to help me? Would some young people like to come up and help me? All you've got to do is hold something up for me. Gabe, do you want to come up? Yes, would you like to come up? Yeah, oh. Well, you can both come up. Come on in. You just stand there. Do you want to come over here? Now, I want you, just for a moment, everybody, to think honestly about what you really believe about how much God wants you to be his friend. I want you to think about what you think God thinks about you. I want you to think about how much he accepts you just as you are. Imagine that Jesus was sitting over there, here, now, and you go up to him to ask him for something. How would you approach him? Would you be fearful or confident? Would you think, I'm not good enough to go up and speak to Jesus? What might Jesus be thinking about you as you walk up to him? Are you thinking about that? I want you to think about something else now. I want you to think about a bar of chocolate. How big would that bar of chocolate be if it was a picture of what you believe God thinks of you, or how much he loves and accepts you? How big would that bar of chocolate be? Would it be this big? Can you hold that? When you think about how God accepts you and loves you, is what you think pictured by that? Or is it pictured by this? Even bigger, you think. Would you like to hold that? When you think about what God thinks of you, do you think like this? if you'd like to hold that. Who thinks this? Well, no, I'm not going to ask you. Maybe you think this morning. This is your view of what God thinks of you, how much he loves you, how much he accepts you. Maybe a bit more. Maybe this much. Well, I want to put it to you that if you think any of these, you are wrong. Because God's desire to be with you, to have you as a friend, to accept you, is beyond all our expectations. I think if you want a decent-sized bar of chocolate to represent what Jesus thinks of you, you need a bar this big. Would you like to hold that for me? Will you hold that up for me? I just want you to hold that up. Have you ever seen such a bar of chocolate? You see, God is abundant and extravagant. And I think he's abundant and extravagant. He's outrageous in his desire to be a friend of you, to be have a relationship with you. He loves you with abandon. He longs to bless you, and he accepts you just as you are. Has anyone seen a film called Risen? Anyone seen a film called Risen? We watched it at home recently. It's about a Roman soldier, a tribune, and it's in the time of Jesus. And that Roman soldier, that tribune, was in charge of the party of soldiers that put Jesus to death, that crucified him. After Jesus had been buried, and 3 days later, the tomb was empty, and people are saying Jesus had risen. The authorities thought, we can't have this. This is the story. And this same tribune was given the job of finding out what had happened to Jesus' body. Where had he gone? Had the disciples stolen it to try and prove that Jesus hadn't risen from the dead? Well, the story goes on, and he questions various disciples, and he's trying to find where the body might be. They've been digging up graveyards, trying to find a Jesus' body to say, look, here he is. He hasn't risen from the dead. And eventually, the tribune, he enters a room in his search, and the disciples are sat around, and he looks in, and he looks, and he sees sitting Jesus. He recognizes Jesus as the person he put to death, who has now come back to life. Jesus is looking down, and at that moment, that tribune realizes that Jesus was something more than that man, that criminal that he had put to death. Now, if anyone at that time should expect that he would not be accepted, that he was not loved, it was that tribune. He would have had this size bar of chocolate. But he stands and he looks at Jesus. And in the film, Jesus looks up. He looks into the eyes of the tribune. And he smiles. And he says, welcome. God's love for us is so abundant that he died for us to take away the things we do wrong, which spoil that friendship that he wants to have with us. Long time ago, I heard a speaker speaking about Jesus' death, and it stuck with me what he said. He said, even if you were the only person that need to be saved in the world, Jesus would still have died for you. Do you want to sit down? You can have that. It's not much, is it? You can have that. Do you want to sit down? You can keep that. Maybe you'd like to share a bit with Gabe afterwards. Do you like to do that? going to sit down. So, we've got a hugely abundant God. Abundant in creation. Super generous. Outrageously abundant. We've got a God that provides for us the things that we need. We gave thanks for those. But even more important, we've got a God who has an extravagant and overwhelming desire to have you as his friend. So much so that he died for you, so that you might be his friend. I just want to say one last thing. God is abundant, but you know, there are people in the world that are in need. And God sometimes and wants to show his abundant generosity through his people. Now, you've got quite an abundance of chocolate there, haven't you? So, can I ask you to do something? You can keep that. But this abundance, after the service, will you share it with everybody else? Yes? Perhaps your mummy and dad can help you do that. You want to sit down? Let's just pray to finish. Heavenly Father, thank you that today, on this harvest day, we think about the abundance of your generosity. Thank you, Lord, that your creation is astonishing and extravagant enjoyment of all the things you have made. Thank you, Lord, that you provide for us. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you want to be our friend and that Jesus died for us so that might be so. Amen.